Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from John's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. In his message titled, The Weight of the World, Reverend David Williams tells us that the world can be a distracting place, which can make us lose sight of what matters. If we live in the chaos, we will be overwhelmed. We need to be grounded in Jesus and let His path govern our lives. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
As we gather in this place, as we prepare and place ourselves in worship, we do so as a people coming out of what can be a very confusing, distracting whirl of a world. There's so much out there that clamors for our attention, so much out there that tries to draw our eye, and we look from one thing to another, and we try to deal with one thing, but there's this other thing that's important. And as we chase one thing after another, it's very easy for us to lose sight of what matters, to lose sight of the relationships of caring and compassion that should define us, to lose sight of ways of service and caring that shape us in the path of Jesus. And so, coming out of that confusing world and entering into this space, it's appropriate for us to say from the truth of our hearts that sometimes that confusion overwhelms us, that we become distracted, that we act in ways that aren't Christ's way. That's true for all of us, and so let's together admit it before the God who loves us. Let's do that through the prayer of confession. It's found in our bulletins. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious God, when we find ourselves trying to live as disciples, we struggle a little bit. We know what is expected of us. We know the grace we've been asked to show and the love that needs to guide us. But though we've been sent, sometimes we feel lost. Though we know our calling, sometimes the call gets muddy in our minds. For our confusion, Lord, please forgive us. In Christ's name, please forgive us. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from John's Gospel. I'll be reading from John chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. You can follow along on page 111 in your pew New Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's Word. Jesus says, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have been a news junkie as long as I can remember. It has always seemed to me that being informed about the world and what's going on is a good thing because it means you're aware, it means you see beyond yourself, it makes you a more competent citizen, and in dozens of ways it has always felt like the right thing to do, and if you do it old school, it's very civilized. Because that's how I hit my mornings. Every morning, after doing the first necessary thing, which is making coffee, after I get the coffee going, and after I do the second necessary thing, which is walking the dog, I come back, and that pot has burbled and percolated, and I settle in at the kitchen table, and I open up, not this laptop hidden here, I open up a newspaper. I open up a paper like it's 1893. And I sit there and I open it up and I read and I drink my coffee like they would have done in 1893. And I like that. It's civilized because I'm sitting there and I'm reading a newspaper which has headlines. You know, a headline tells you something. It does not say, click here. It does not say, there's something important you want to know, but I'm not going to tell you unless you click here. It doesn't do that. It actually provides you with a little bit of information. So that if you want more information, you can make the informed choice as a sentient human being about whether or not you want to look at it. And so I will look through headline by headline. And then some articles I'll read, usually if it's like, ooh, this is an interesting thing I don't know, or ooh, this is something that's important. And that takes a little while. And it's a slow, easy way to slide into my morning and feel like I'm sort of keeping up with the goings on our little planet. And that makes me feel informed. And that makes me feel knowledgeable, and knowledge is power, or so I recall from the opening to all of those Saturday morning Schoolhouse Rock cartoons. Schoolhouse Rock, even? I won't sing that. Tempting, though. But now I found there's a downside, and it's always been present if you don't take the pace right. But there's a hubris in wanting to be informed. And that downside comes as we start to get too deep into it. When the story of our life becomes overtaken by the endless fire hose of our 24/7 news cycle. Because now it's everywhere and always, and there's too much of it. There's so much information. Information that is then magnified, doubled, and redoubled through analysis and opinion, which is packaged and repackaged from more perspectives than you can count on any given day. And that 24-hour cycle gets magnified and fermented and intensified by social media, as all of your friends are talking about this thing and sharing this thing about this thing. And whatever the outrage of the hour or the minute is resonated and amplified into whatever echo chamber you happen to inhabit, and it gets louder and louder and louder until it's too much. And so I'll hear often from people who don't realize the best way to get at information is slowly and carefully and not through a fire hose. Headlines, paper, coffee. It's best. I will hear from those who get their information primarily from Facebook or primarily from Twitter that they are overwhelmed, that they are panicked, that they are anxious, that they can't keep track, that they don't, even though they have more information than could possibly be expected, it doesn't feel like enough, and every moment they feel compelled to come back to it. And I will hear people who are otherwise perfectly informed, I can't take it, I need a break, or this is too much, it's crushing me. And they're right, because you can't take all of it in. Every response, every reaction, every piece of information, the whole weight of the world from every perspective, this pressure of everything happening everywhere. And our little souls, I mean, we like to think our souls are huge, there's nothing we can't do, there's nothing we can't understand. That's not right. We're smaller beings than we imagine ourselves to be, and our souls just can't bear that weight. We can't take in our smallness, the wholeness of everything always, the entire world bearing down onto us. That's the kind of thing that can drive us to anxious distraction, or if we listen to John's gospel this morning, maybe take us to prayer in a slightly different way of being in relationship to that world that bears heavy down upon us. Here we are in chapter 17 of John's gospel, and this chapter is one sustained prayer that serves a very particular purpose in the story that the beloved disciple is telling us about Jesus. He's just finished up giving us seven signs that define the heart of the narrative that John has been telling us. And he's just wrapped up teachings about the Holy Spirit and community, the nature of a community defined by God's love. We've just heard that done. And so here we are in the summation of Jesus' teachings as we hear them from John in what we described last week as the farewell discourse. Jesus saying, I'm wrapping things up. Chapter 14, chapter 15 and 16, all coming to a conclusion. And here we are in 17, and Jesus is praying over his disciples as we prepare for the story to transition to John's passion narrative, as Jesus begins his self-sacrifice. And why is Jesus praying? It's partially a benediction, a farewell, but it has another purpose. He has already taught them what they need to know. He's already told them everything he can about himself. And now, in this portion of the prayer, he is asking that the God who sent him, the God whose word, whose logos, whose spirit filled him, he's asking for that God to protect the community that he had founded. He's praying for the disciples who'd gathered around him, but he's also, especially if we listen on past beyond where I read, which is challenging, but but you can read it. It is there. If we listen further, he says, I am praying for those who are around me now, and I'm also praying for all of those who will believe in me through their word. So it's a prayer for those disciples gathered, and it's a prayer for us. And what it is asking is, as with most of John's gospel, very, very simple and simultaneously complex and confusing. It's amazing how this gospel does that. It's always that way. So it's a simple request for protection, saying that Jesus and all those who hear that message of grace are always going to stand in tension with the world. And that word, because John, beloved disciple, repeats things. If they're important, he'll say them, and then he'll say them again, and then he'll say them a third time. And by about the 12th time you've heard that word, you're like, all right, maybe he's trying to get a point across here. That word is repeated 11 times in the 13 verses I read today. So you can assume there's a reason for that. And that reason reflects a tension that John is trying to develop. And the word for world, the word we get in John's Greek in this passage, every single time that's used, it's a variant on the Greek word cosmos, which is the word that gives us the English word cosmos. It's a stretch, I know. I mean, you have to really stretch for it. And that can mean a lot of things, but it primarily means to the wholeness of life and the way that life and existence is ordered. Cosmos is the whole process of creation and material reality and the way that everything works. And as Jesus expresses it, honestly, he's talking about also the way that everything doesn't work. The way that the world and the lives we live in it can be this swirl of chaos, this mass of unpredictability and mess and disorder. And we human beings who like to understand life as story, we like to see connections, we want everything to have meaning and purpose. Honestly, when we encounter the world, the more and more and more of it we take in, the more it will defy our efforts to give it form and structure. Take in the whole cosmos. And I can't help but hear Carl Sagan's voice whenever I use that term. Take in the billions and billions of whatever billions of things you're talking about, be it billions of stars or billions of miles or billions and billions of human beings, each with their own complex story. That's too much for us to take in. If we try to, it'll first sit heavy on our shoulders and then, you know, that crushing weight of more than our little souls can handle is what Jesus is talking about here. And the endless churn and gnawing force of human power as human beings try to control this thing that God has done. And we know what it's like when that burden weighs down. Because sometimes our studies and our work and everything we've labored for suddenly doesn't work and we're not sure why and we try to find out, but the deeper we get in, the more it feels like we're Alice chasing a rabbit down a hole. And we have relationships we're sure must be a certain way, and then suddenly they're not, and we're trying to piece it together, but the more we dig into them, the more they come apart. And there are those reminders of our mortality that become ever more present as we get older. And on those times, we forget to bend with our knees, and our back reminds us we are not 18 by a long shot. Or when we look at the dynamics of nations and the struggles that just never seem to get fixed. As power begets bloodshed begets power, and we try to figure it out, and it's more than we can manage, and everything is a mess, mess upon mess upon mess, higher than we can grasp. And if we focus on that chaos, if we chase the algorithms down and follow the leads from Facebook that point us to, this is the thing that's going to make you the most anxious today, so you're most likely to click on it at least 5 more times and start a fight with a stranger, which will of course get you clicking more times because now you're mad at them and you're fighting about the thing that you... If we let that chaos rile our psyches, if we abide in that chaos, in that place where the world is a burden, it will leave us dizzy and nauseated and confused and overwhelmed day by day. But Jesus asks us to look at something different, not to be of that world, to instead be grounded in him, his heart, his purpose, and his integrity, to see that as what governs our life as individuals and what gathers us together in community, and make that the purpose towards which we orient our lives. In this prayer he offers up for his disciples who would know struggle in the world, and for all of us who know struggle in the world, he says, here is the thing that orients ourselves and our souls away from that mess and that churn and towards the spirit, love, community, and grace that God is placing in this world through Jesus. And that doesn't mean we're not aware of chaos, because you can't not be aware of the world you're part of. It doesn't mean that it's not around us. It doesn't mean that it's not a part of our lives. We don't get a pass on that. But though we are in faith and in the world, we are not, if we are pursuing the truth that Jesus proclaims, we're not entirely of the world either, because we don't set our eyes towards it. Faith sets us instead towards that which is not quite yet, that new reality of self, that new place of growth, that expression of love and grace that isn't part of our past and that isn't part of the churn, but is something that God wants to place in our lives. That is where we orient ourselves, towards how in this moment and in the future we can change and grow and be better. And that is the foundation that gives our lives integrity. From that foundation, grounded in Christ's gospel of grace and service and love for all, especially those we do not like, we can look towards moments of hope. We can see our lives in that context, not constantly pressed down by the power of the world or the unmanageable immensity of everything all at once, always, but instead seeing here is the purpose that Christ teaches, and here is that one thing we can do, that thing we can do right now on our human scale in this moment that will make that more real. And we do that, and we do that, and we do that, and we move towards that place in which we can live and abide as ones claimed by Christ and claimed by God and given to one another and that kingdom. That's what Jesus hoped for all of us. So let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
So next week, what color will we be wearing? What will we be wearing? We'll be wearing red. We'll be wearing red. All right, just a reminder, because saying things multiple times helps. So remember, next week,
This Pentecost. Pentecost, when we celebrate the gift of the Spirit, which draws us on and gives us purpose and direction. And that's always the greatest challenge when we stand in relation to a world that is filled with competing demands and stressors and expectations and anxieties. As you know, you're not fulfilling this thing, but I have this expectation. I need to know this thing, but I need to know that more, and I don't know enough about this. And in the face of all of that burden, the presence of the Spirit and the teachings of Jesus say, there is a path through this that is defined by the purpose that Jesus lays out. It's that upward way, where Jesus shows us by putting one foot in front of the other where we are meant to go and says, all right, see, just follow those footprints. Do those things I have taught you. When confronted by disruption, present grace. When confronted by hatred, present love. When confronted by brokenness, speak a word of healing. Do as Jesus taught us to do. And know that no matter how heavy the world might see and how chaotic it might feel, that is our purpose, and that's what makes it bearable. Step following step, moving always onwards and upwards on a path of grace led by Christ Himself. That's how we are to move in this world. So when we go out the doors, do that. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may they be and abide with us this day and forevermore. Amen.